Okay, we're holding today in between Tisha B'Av and Simchas Torah. So really I'd like to speak about Simchas Torah, but in order to speak about Simchas Torah, to know what we're celebrating on Simchas Torah, we have to first understand what we're mourning on Tisha B'Av, and then we can appreciate or understand what we are being the Sameach on Simchas Torah. So I may have spoken about this before. Chazal say that Loi Nishnis El Bishvil Dover Shen Is Chadesh Boy, which means it wasn't repeated only for that which is new. So if I have spoken about this subject matter before, I definitely know that there are some new components, and even if we repeat it, the purpose will be for those new elements. We'd like to begin with a comment by the Arizal, an enigmatic, difficult to understand Ari. The Ari says, the month that we are in now is referred to as Menachem Av. The Ari itself says that this means Menachem Aleph Beis. The word Av is spelled Aleph Beis. That, so he's saying something to the effect that we need a comfort on the Aleph Beis. I gave this speech in Camp Sternberg this past Shabbos, so a young man came over to me, and he said he believes that the meaning of the Arizal is that when Hashem wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he consulted, or I don't know if Hashem asked the opinion, or rather the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, they went over to Hashem and they said, no, don't destroy it. And the Medrash says that the letters of the Aleph Beis went over to Hashem and said, don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So this young man wanted to say, that's perhaps what the Arizal means, Menachem Av, Menachem Aleph Beis, that Hashem didn't listen to the pleading. Hashem felt that it's the time that the Averis of Bnei Yisrael deserved that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed. So he didn't listen to Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. He didn't listen to the pleading of the Aleph Beis, and therefore the Aleph Beis itself needs Nechama. So that was this young man's pshat. I told him it's a very nice pshat, and perhaps that's the meaning. But what I wanted to suggest is a different approach. What I wanted to suggest is that, in fact, we need comfort for the letters of the Aleph Beis. This young man was learning the letters of the Aleph Beis themselves need comfort, that they lost the Beis HaMikdash. But the way we're trying to approach it is that Klal Yisrael, besides that we have to get comforted from the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and for the loss of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, because we lost that as well. As Rabbi Schwab once said, today we have Jerusalem. And he said, Jerusalem is not yet Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. If there's a possibility, God forbid, of having a gay parade in Jerusalem, then everyone understands that it's not Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It's not the holy city of Yerushalayim. And who knows, we don't know the ways of Hashem, but who knows if the war with Hezbollah broke out and as a result they postponed the gay parade, or it was not allowed to be done in the holy cities of Yerushalayim, in the holy streets of Yerushalayim. Who knows if that might not be at least a factor in the reason why the war broke out at this time, to prevent that gay parade would take place. So we're still in Golis, even a Jew who lives in Meir Shearim in Yerushalayim, but he's not yet living in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. We know that Yerushalayim has one of the holiest spots in the world. The Chazal tell us, Eser Kedushas Ein. There are 10 sources of holiness in the world, and one of the top ones is Yerushalayim. So you could live in Meir Shearim today, you could live in Geula, you could live in all the great neighborhoods of Yerushalayim, and you're still living in Jerusalem. You're not yet living in the way Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is going to be when Mashiach will come, b'mher of Yemeinu. But besides the nechama that we have to get for Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, which everyone is aware of, there's another component that we need to get nechama comfort on another loss, and this loss I don't think many people focus on, and that is there is a loss of Torah as a result of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what this shiur is going to focus on, the loss of Torah. My daughter and others asked me last year, and this is a question that bothers a lot of people who learned the Daf Yomi. I heard Rabbi Weinreb was asked this question. He gave a different answer than the one I'm going to suggest. The question is, since you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, so why did Rav Meir Shapira Zatzal, who founded the Daf Yomi, which is that every Jew all over the world, or not every Jew yet, but many Jews, learn the same Daf all over the world. Two Jews get together in Switzerland. One is from South Africa. One is from New York City. They're in Switzerland. They sit down together and they continue the Daf Yomi that they just finished in South Africa and New York City. They meet in Switzerland. They sit down at the same shir, and both of them are right involved in the same chomer, the same material. That was the great idea of the of Rav Meir Shapiro. But the question is, why have a daf on Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn Torah. You're only allowed to learn those portions of Torah that are sad, that have to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash or with any other sad event that happened to Klal Yisrael. But the regular cycle of the Daf Yomi, you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So why did Rav Meir Shapiro, in fact, schedule a Daf if you can't learn it? So the Rabbi Weinreb suggested that he asked the person who asked him the question, he said back to him, you're not a maimon? You don't believe? We all believe, Be'emuna Shleima, that Mashiach is going to come any day. So Rav Meir Shapiro, when he made the schedule, he figured by Tisha B'Av Mashiach will be here. That's why he scheduled it. That was his answer. I wanted to suggest that Rav Meir Shapiro was trying to teach us a lesson. And the lesson is that although we're not allowed to learn this particular Daf Yomi on Tisha B'Av, but we have an obligation to learn. But we're an ones. An ones means we are forced not to be able to fulfill our responsibility, our commitment. But he wanted us to know that we had, the commitment was there, and except we're not able to fulfill it. And this concept is particularly striking when we realize what the Daf Yomi was last year on Tisha B'Av. The last year's Daf Yomi was about the letters of the Aleph Beis, the holy letters of the Aleph Beis. And they were teaching us what the pnimius, what the inside, the essence of the letters of the Aleph Beis are. The Gemara says, for example, Aleph Beis stands for Aluf Bina, which means learn Torah. Gimel Dalid stands for Gomel Dalim, that a person should do kindness to poor people. And so on and so forth, all the letters of the Aleph Beis. The Gemara, it happened to be in Masech de Shabbos, Tractate Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Dalad, the 104th leaf of the Talmud Bavli, Masech de Shabbos. That's what the Gemara spoke about. The inner meaning, we have the outer letters, but there's an inner meaning to each of the letters. So my thought was, when I realized this, what the Daf Yomi was all about, my thought was that on Tisha B'Av last year, we weren't allowed to learn anything about the Aleph Beis on that Daf. Not even the outside, nothing. But the lesson is that even when we go back to learning about the Aleph Beis the rest of the year, do you know what we're learning? We're only learning the outside part of the Aleph Beis. But the inner essence, as that Gemara is discussing, the inner meaning of the letters of the Aleph Beis, that we're forced not to be able to comprehend. Now, it's the same idea that I mentioned before. Daf Yomi, we're supposed to learn it, but we're not able to learn it. So, too, that particular Daf Yomi that we couldn't learn last Tisha B'Av was teaching us a lesson. A lot of times, it comes out that, let's say, Pesach in the Daf Yomi, you'll find a Pasuk in the Daf about Pesach. You're up to Shavuos, you'll find a Pasuk about Shavuos. It happens to be that you can have many, many blot, nothing about Pesach, and just when Pesach comes out, you'll learn about Pesach in the Daf Yomi. special thing that Hashem made that it comes out this way. So Tisha B'Av last year, it came out very interesting that just that daf happened to be speaking about the inner meaning of the Aleph Beis. And I think the lesson is, as we're going to explain, but this is the main thought here, that we have to learn the inner part of the Torah, but we can't. Because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, as the Vilna Gaon will explain. The Vilna Gaon teaches us a lesson. B'li Beis HaMikdash ain't Torah. Without the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Torah. Where does the Vilna Gaon say this? So the Vilna Gaon, and this I heard from my great Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, was the Reshiva of Yeshivas Tells in Cleveland, Ohio. And I heard this from him at a Torah or Mesorah convention a number of years ago. The Mishnah says in Perik Hay, Mishnah Chaf of Pirkei Avos, Az Ponim LeGehinam, Uboshes Ponim LeGan Eden. A person who is brazen, who's the Hebrew word we'll call him chutzpedik, and they have no shame, that person will wind up in Gehinam. Boshes Ponim, a person who has shame, which is one of the three traits of a Jew, they are Rachmonim, by Shonim and Goyim L'Chasodim. They have shame, especially a woman, there's an Indian to have tznius and shame. That a woman who has such a midah, that's a mila for a woman. Boshes Ponim, a person who has shame, winds up L'Gan Eden. And then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnayos, makes a prayer, a tefillah. What's the tefillah? Yehi Ratzo, may be your will, Hashem, Shetibane Ircha b'Meriv Yomenu, that your city Yerushalayim should be rebuilt speedily in our days. V'sein Chalkenu b'Soros Echa, and you should give us our portion in Torah. So all the commentaries ask, what does this prayer have to do with Az Ponim LeGehinim or Boish Ponim LeGan Eden? That if you have shame, you go to Gan Eden. If you have brazen, you don't go to Gan Eden. Build up your city and give us our portion in Torah. What does one thing have to do with the other? There are various explanations. The Vilna Gaon says, his explanation is as follows. Number one, he changes one word here. Not Shibana Ircha, but he changes it to a phrase that we're very familiar. We say it in Shemoneh Esrei. Yiratzu Shibana Beis HaMikdash. Please build up your Beis HaMikdash speedily in our times and give us our Chelek in Torah. Says the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, that this prayer is put in the wrong place in Pirkei Avos. It's not Perik Hay Mishnah Chaf, but it's at the end of Perik Hay Mishnah Chaf Gimel. That's where this tefillah should be. And it follows, which is now a world-famous Mishnah, and the reason it's a world-famous Mishnah is because we have a song which is sung at all weddings, and everybody will know it when I say it, Ben Bug Bug Omer. You've heard that song at weddings, so everyone knows this Mishnah of Ben Bug Bug Omer. If we had more songs for each Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, we would know all of Pirkei Avos Baal Peh. The final mission in Perek Hay is called Ben Hey Hey Omer. I believe there's a song now for Ben Hey Hey Omer as well. Says the Vilna Gaon, after Ben Bug Bug Omer and after Ben Hey Hey Omer, you finish the fifth Perek of Pirkei Avos, that's where the tefillah will go. And we'll explain, of course, what he means. But just let's get first his thought. That's where the special tefillah will go of what? Says the Vilna Gaon. Why should this prayer be put here? Because since Rebbe went through the whole Mishnayos from Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, Pirkei Avos begins that Moshe received the Torah from Hashem at Sinai, at Har Sinai, and he went through the whole Pirkei Avos. That's why this prayer is there. And then he adds something else. Because without a Beis HaMikdash, there cannot be any Torah, as it says in Eicha, which we read on Tisha B'Av, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes, Malka Visoreha Bagoyim Ein Torah. Her king and her princes are exiled amongst the nations. There is no Torah. That is what we'll call the enigmatic statement of the Vilna Gaon. We don't understand what is he trying to say over here exactly. So Rabbi Gifter said that there was a great rabbi who lived in Canton, Ohio. His name was Rabbi Elazari. Rabbi Elazari said a beautiful thought. He explained this Vilna Gaon. It becomes crystal clear if we learn another commentary whose name is the Marsha. The Marsha goes on a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Tes. The Gemara says, the world will last for 6,000 years. We're up to 5,766. That means that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Be'itoi Achishena. Mashiach will come in his time quickly. So the Chazal asked the question, if he comes quickly, then it's not in his time. If he comes in his time, it's not quickly. How can you have something, you're supposed to meet somebody, you have an appointment, 12 o'clock, so either you come at 12, that's on the time, or you come quickly at 10 to 12. But how could you come quickly on time? That's impossible. Rabbi Breuer, the Rav of Kal Ashur, somebody used to, if you can't come to a Yekisha appointment a minute or even a second late. So this person thought he'll come a minute early. So Rabbi Breuer said, Auch free is auch nicht punktlich. If you come a second early, you're not on time. You're early. And you can't be late, you can't be early, you have to be exactly on time. I know most of us, I can speak for myself, we're not Yekis. We're not German Jews. But a German Jew, punktlich, on afen minute, afen sekunde, on the second, they're there on time. So what does it mean that Mashiach is going to come on time, early, fast? So say the Chazal, Loi zochu, if we are not zocha through our schusim, through our learning, through our mitzvahs, through our tztaka, through our ki shmiras halosh, and not speaking lashon hara, if we're not worthy, then he has to come eventually. He'll come at the year 6,000. And by the way, the Ramban, I believe, says in Chumash that 200 years before 6,000, that's the for sure when Yemos HaMashiach, which means according to Ramban, he must get here, Eliyahu HaNavi has to come, the latest by the year 5,800. So we're getting, that gives us, even Be'ito on time gives us 34 years where he must come, according to the Ramban's opinion. Achishena means quickly, if we have Zchusim, Zochu, if we're Zocha, Achishena, then Hashem, he could have brought him for the last 2,000 years. But we weren't Zocha. But if we still today would be Zocha, we could get Mashiach here today. But that's why, Achakalo b'chol yom shiyove, I hope he's going to come any day. So that's the answer to the question. There's two periods when Mashiach can come. If nothing works in our favor, he must come by year 6,000. Or as I just said, at least by the year 5,800, if there's going to be 200 years, which are called the days of Mashiach. But Zachu, if we're worthy, we can bring him Achishena. Then he can come even quicker. As soon as we're Zachu, we can get him here faster. So Chazal say, the world is 6,000 years old. That's the maximum. Say Chazal, 2,000 years are called Sovavo, empty. 2,000 years are called the years of Torah. And 2,000 years are Yemos HaMashiach. That's the overall, those are the 2,000 years where we can bring him quickly or where he must come by the end of those 2,000 years. So we divide the 6,000 years up into three portions. So there is now a fundamental argument between Rashi and the Marsha. Rashi asks a very strong question. What do you mean 2,000 years of Torah? There's 4,000 years of Torah. Because right now we're in the last 2,000 years of the world, and is anybody going to say there's no Torah? We're learning Torah right now. There's 4,000 B'nai Yeshiva and Kolel people in Lakewood. There's 4,000 in Mir and Yerushalayim. I don't know which yeshiva is bigger. But both of these, plus hundreds of other yeshivas, these are from the perhaps in the history of the Jewish people, we never had such great yeshivas as Mir and Lakewood in numbers. It's unbelievable how much Torah is going. Tens of thousands of people all over the world learning all day and all night. So the Rashi asks, what does Chazal mean? There's only 2,000 years of Torah. There's 4,000 years of Torah. So Rashi says, you're right, there's 4,000. But it overlaps. The last 2,000 are both Torah and Yemos HaMashiach. Why did Chazal say only 2,000 years of Torah? Because it's symmetrical. It's easier to remember. I have 6,000. I divide it up into three parts. Each part is 2,000. It's easy to remember. But in reality, of course, the last 2,000 overlaps. So there's really 4,000 years of Torah. The Marsha says, no, I disagree with Rashi. There is only 2,000 years of Torah. The last 2,000 years of the world is the same pasuk that the Vilna Gaon quotes. Malka v'soreha bagoyim ein Torah. Her king and her princes are in exile amongst the nations. There is no Torah anymore, explains the Marsha. When did these 2,000 years begin? When Avram was 52 years old. Avram was born in 1948, not when the state of Israel was created, but 1948 from Briyas HaOlam, from the beginning of when the world was created. When he was 52 years old, how old was the world? 1948 and 52 is 2000. And at that year, the Chazal, the Pasuk says that as hanefesh asher osu b'charod, that Avram was Megayer, the men, and Sarah, his wife, was Megayer, the women, and they made Nefashos and Charon. They made people believe in monotheism, believe in Hashem. These are the Gerim that they made in Charon. So that's when the 2,000 years of Torah began, when Avram was 52 years old. When did those 2,000 years end? When Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnayos, passed away. He passed away 172 years after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the fire, the flame of Torah, was extinguished once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. There cannot be, as we'll soon explain in more detail, a real Torah without the Beis HaMikdash. So it flickered on for another 172 years until Rebbe was Nifter, and then it totally burnt out. So that's when Rebbe was Nifter 172 years after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that coincides with the year 4000 in Jewish history. So it lasted from Avram when he was 52 years old, the year 2000, till Rebbe was Nifter 172 years after the Churban, the year 4000. So I disagree with Rashi. It doesn't overlap the last 2,000 years, Torah and Yemos HaMashiach. No. In the last 2,000 years of the world, there is no Torah. Obvious question. We just said, what do you mean there's no Torah? There's more Torah today, perhaps, than we ever had. We never had such large yeshivas, over 4,000 people in Yerushalayim in one yeshiva. Over 4,000 in Lakewood in one yeshiva. So what do you mean we don't have Torah? We have a tremendous amount of Torah. The OU has website as one shiur after the other, including this shiur. So plenty of Torah going on in the world. Rav Gifter answered this question with a mashal given by the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda said it's a mashal to an old man and a young boy. They were shipwrecked on an island, and they had no svarim, nothing, and the old man saw that the young boy was 4 or 5 years old. He's a bright boy. I'm going to teach him Aleph Beis. So they start, and the boy caught on quickly. One day, he asked the old man, why am I learning all these crazy, funny sounds? What's the purpose of it? So the old man said, hopefully one day soon we're going to get saved. A boat will come and save us. And then they'll bring us to a Jewish yeshuv, a settlement, and you, with this tool in your hand of knowing the letters of the Aleph Beis, you'll be able to go into any shul or Beis Medrash, you'll be able to sit down, you'll read from the Aleph Beis, from the Siddur, from the Chumash, and this will be the key for you to get knowledge in Torah, and that's why I'm teaching you these funny sounds. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, that's what we're doing. All the Torah that we're learning, all the deep Torah, in the yeshivas, they learn from Rabbi Akiva Eger, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, They Shagas Aryeh, Tzos, Nasivas, these are all Svarim of the deepest part of Torah. All that Torah is only like that little boy, Bo Ba Be, Go Ga Ge. In other words, the outside letters of the Torah, this is what we said before. We couldn't learn on Tisha B'Av the nothing in Torah, but it's a lesson that even the rest of the year, we're supposed to go into the depths of Torah. But all we can do, because it says that Vilna Gaon, and Marsha agrees, the Rabbi Elazari put the Marsha and the Vilna Gaon together. There's one point that I didn't explain clearly. The Rabbi Elazari says that's what the Vilna Gaon meant. Since Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe, brought down the whole Torah, the tradition of Torah, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, Umesor Yeshua, Yeshua Lizakanim, Uzakanim Lenevim, Uzakanim, Anshek Nesagdol, he goes through the whole Mesorah, through Shammai and Hillel and Shammai of Avtalia, etc. Until his time, Ben Bugbug, Ben Aye, that he traced the whole lineage of the Mesorah from Moshe till his time. The fifth Perek end. Where does Pirkei Avos end? How many Perekim are there in Pirkei Avos? There's really six Perekim. But the sixth Perek is not really part of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is five Perekim. Why do we say the sixth Perek? Because the main minig of saying Pirkei Avos is the six Shabbos in between Pesach and Shavuos. And the Svardim only say it. We say it Ashkenazim. We say it now till Rosh Hashanah. But Svardim say it only those 6 weeks. And the reason is Derech Eretz Kadma Torah. Before you're going to learn Torah on Shavuos, you have to practice good midos of Derech Eretz, which are written about in Pirkei Avos. So every Shabbos we read another parak of good midos preparing for Torah. But there's only five prakim. And how many Shabbosim are there between Pesach and Shavuos? There's six Shabbosim. What do we do on the sixth Shabbos? So they said, you know what we'll do? We'll learn the special Brisa. It's not a Mishnah. Brisa means it's a Mishnah that's not part of what Rebbe, who was the redactor of the Mishnah, what he put together. Codified. This is Mishnah. There's certain Mishnahs, for whatever reason, that's Rebbe's decision. This is a Mishnah, but we call it a Brisa. The word Brisa means from the word bra, outside. It's outside of what Rebbe said goes into the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, the six books of Mishnayos. We can ask, the Gemara will ask a question on a Mishnah from a Brisa. But is it part of the Mishnah? No, it's a separate outside Brisa. So on the sixth Shabbos before Kabbalah Satorah, what is appropriate to learn about? How is one acquire Torah? That's the Perek is called Perek Kinyan Torah. And there it's famous 48 ways that a person is called a Torah. And it lists all of those 48 ways in the sixth Perek of Pirkei Avos. So therefore, that is a great Perek to learn right before Shavuos when you're going to be Mekabel the Torah. But what is the real Pirkei Avos? Five Prakim. So Rebbe, who made the Mesorah from Moshe Kibbol Torah Masinai, the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, until the last Mishnah in the fifth Perek, he's gone through the whole chain of the Mesorah from one generation to the other, says the Vilna Gaon, when he came to his time, and he knows that he's leaving this world. And with his leaving this world, and he ended the Mishnayos, that's 172 years after the second base Mishnah is destroyed. What's going to happen now? Malka v'soreo bagoyim ain't Torah. That's the end of Torah. So then Rebbe said, now's the tefillah. Ye ratzon, may be your will Hashem, she'tibone beis hamikdash meher v'yameinu, I pray to Hashem, let Mashiach come already. Let the third base of Mikdash be rebuilt, and let Him give us our chelik in Torah, our part in Torah, because without the base of Mikdash, says the Vilna Gaon, there cannot be Torah. We don't have Torah. We have so much Torah in the world. The Noda Biyuda says that's only Bo Ba Be, Go Ga Ge. We have to learn whatever we can, because or else we won't even have the tools to understand what Mashiach is talking about. We have, like the little boy, without the Aleph Beis, how could he open up a siddur and begin to read? He has to know what the sounds are. But all our learning, as deep as we might think we are, in reality to how really deep the Torah is, to what the real inner essence of the Torah is, it's all like that little boy just mouthing, bo ba be go ga ge. We lost, so that's the Torah that we lost on Tisha B'Av, because not only we lost the Yerushalayim or HaKadosh, not only did we lose the Beis HaMikdash, we lost the Torah, because the Gra says, if Malka v'Sareh Bagoyim and the Marshal agrees, ain't Torah. There is no real Torah anymore until the third Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and that's Rebbe's Tefillah, may it be built soon, so we get our portion of Torah. That we don't just have the outer part of the Torah, we have the inner part as well. This is the pshat of Rav Gifter, Rav Elazari, the Marshal, the Gra. Now, I think I said before, what I'm going to say from now on is mostly new. It just struck me on Tisha B'Av, and I never myself thought about it until this year, because of this whole introduction, so my mind was attuned to it. If you go through the kinnis on Tisha B'Av, you will notice that not only does it speak about Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, but in fact, there are many references, and we'll just do a few. There are many references to the loss of Torah. There's the famous Sekinah Chaf Aleph that we say on Tisha B'Av, and similarly we say on Yom Kippur, Arzeh Halvana Nadir HaTorah. We speak about the giants of the 10 Asara Haruge Maus, the 10 great tzaddikim who were killed. When we speak about them, what do we mention about them? We speak about the loss of Torah. For example, Reb Shimon Megamliel, when he was nifter, Peh HaMizgaber BaTorah, his holy tongue that used to be so strong in Torah. Or Rabbi Akiva, what was Rabbi Akiva? Oker Horim, he uprooted mountains, V'tochnan Zu B'Zu B'Svara. It doesn't mean literally he was Superman that he uprooted mountains. It means in learning, he took things and he uprooted them and he grinded them together. He was so brilliant in his logic. The next kina, Chav Beis, Torah, Torah, Chigri Sak. We say to the Torah, put on a sackcloth. And then we say, Malchayich, your sailors, V'chayvlayich, those who man the ropes, the Mayim Adirim, these are like sailors who are on a boat, and they're going through the mighty waters of the Sea of Talmud, of Gemara. And we say, with the loss of Torah, Mi Yifarik Havayis, who is going to clarify the issues? Miyatarit Shvarim, who will now answer the earth-shattering questions? And finally, a last example, and there are many more. Kina Mem Aleph, Shali Srufa Ba'esh L'Shloim Aveilayach. You, the old Torah, who you were consumed by fire, you should seek out the welfare of your mourners. And what does this refer to? This refers to on Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Chukas, in the year 1242, 24 wagon loads of Sifrei Kodesh were burnt in Paris by Christians. So we're saying, you Torah that was burnt, you should seek the welfare of those who mourn over you. What mourning over what? The loss of Torah. There was a great Rishon, his name was Rabbeinu Yechiel Miparis from Paris. He was the father of the famous Rosh, and he paraphrased the Pasuk in Eicha, Kihine toivim chalalei cherev. Those who were killed by sword were more fortunate in the Eicha, it says, than those who died by hunger. And he paraphrased it, Mehayoshvim shomim b'li Torah, to those who sat desolate without Torah. He felt that to lose your life, you were more fortunate than to live, but to live without Torah. If 24 wagon loads of Svarim, by the way, they didn't have a printing press yet, and they didn't have art scroll. They had each sefer was handwritten. It took months and months to write one sefer. So here, 24 wagon loads of all these handwritten svarim were burnt. So he said it would be better to die physically than to die spiritually, than to not have this Torah. So we see from this and many proofs that on Tisha B'Av, and I think many people don't appreciate this, we have to mourn over the loss of Torah. Now, someone may say, well, Yom Kippur, we say, Ein lanu shir rak ha-Torah hazois. All, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Yerushalayim. You know what we have left? Torah. So it sounds like we have Torah left. But I just want to point out, there are two words here, rak and hazos. Rak and Azos are called a miyut. Miyut means it is excluding something. Rak, only. Zos, this and not something else. You're excluding. And what is it trying to teach? I believe that even though we have a Torah today, but we only have the outside form of the Torah, the inner essence, as we've been explaining, is missing. So that's why all we have left is a like crippled Torah. We have a little bit the outside, Gogageh Bobabev, the Torah, but the inner essence is all missing. So this is what the Ari said, Menachem Av, Menachem Aleph Beis. The letters of the Torah, we need Nechama because we have the letters, but we only have the outside part of the letter. The whole inner essence we won't have till the third Beis Hamikdash is built and Mashiach comes. And now the question arises, and with this we're going to conclude, if so, so what is the big happiness about Simchas Torah? We just gave a whole shiur on how sad we have to be on Tisha B'Av. We don't have Torah anymore. So what do people jump up to the ceiling and they're it's such a festive time, Simchas Torah. What's the Simcha? All we have left is Nebuch, a crippled Torah. We have the outside of Bob Babe Gogaget. So what are we so happy about? The answer, I was in Eretz Yisrael during Sukkot, and there's a famous mashgiach. His name is Rav Don Segel. So he said a pshat in the name of a charedim. The charedim was a rishon. And when he said that pshat, I thought to myself, this is the answer to that question. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Sos anoichi al imra secha kemaitse shalom rav." I rejoiced over your Torah Hashem like one, Imra says, your word, referring to Torah. You know how happy I was about your Torah? Like someone who finds great spoils of war. Says the Charedim, Sos anoichi al Imra secha. The word Imra secha doesn't just mean a word, the word of Torah. Imra is a thread, is a garment. David HaMelech, who knew the secrets, the inner essence of the Torah, in a tremendous amount. But David HaMelech says, I didn't have to go to the inner essence of the Torah. I was happy. I rejoiced even on the levush of the Torah, on the garment of the Torah, on the outer threads of the Torah, even on Gogageh Bob Babeh. We have to be so fortunate that we at least have the Bob Babeh, Eilon Ushir, Rak HaTorah Zos. It's a crippled Torah. But even from the little that we have left, we have to be so happy, says David. The outer levush of the Torah, like someone who doesn't find a $10 bill on the floor, but someone who finds spoils of war. And not just plain spoils, but Rav, Kimotze Sholo Rav, like abundant of the spoils of war. That's how I rejoiced for a Bob Babeh, Gogageh of the Torah. So Tisha B'Av is the day that we have to mourn on the loss of the inner essence of the Torah. And Simchas Torah is the day where we rejoice that Baruch Hashem, at least I still have the outer garment of the Torah, but that itself is a tremendous cause for celebration. And finally, the Rav Kiva Eger, I saw there's a sefer, it's called Moitzei Sholo Rav. It's put out by a Rabbi Leventhal in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Avram Yisrael Leventhal. He brings a beautiful mashal of Rav Kiva Eger that sums this whole shir up. Rav Kiva Eger says, you know what David HaMelech meant with this pasuk? A mashal of someone going on a road, and suddenly, what does he see in front of his eyes? He sees a treasure house. He sees he's become a millionaire overnight. There is gold and silver and diamonds and precious jewels. And he stands there in amazement. He can't believe that he struck it rich. What about Hashavas Aveda? Let's say he's a goy. He doesn't have a chiv of Hashavas Aveda, or he has some heter. Why there is no Hashavas Aveda? That's out of the picture. This is all his. So he starts picking up from the floor, stuffing it into his pockets. He has on the bottom of his pants, he has a cuff. He stuffs it into there, in his back pocket, in his hat, in his inner pockets of his jacket, wherever he could. He has a whole bundle in his hand, and he's trudging along. He's so heavily burdened down that he can't move quickly. He has to step by step But what does he have? He's become a millionaire and he's so happy. But then he turns back and he looks. If he would have had a wagon, he could have got this whole treasure up on the wagon. He looks back, and what does he see on the road? Much more than what he picked up, he still had to leave behind on the road. David HaMelech says, Sosa noichi alimra secha, kemaitzi shal rav. I rejoiced over your outer part of the Torah, as we explained. Like someone who finds the spoils of war, rav. It's too much. I can't carry it all. So on the one hand, on Simchas Torah, I'm happy. Look what I have. I'm a millionaire. This guy who found all these diamonds, he's happy. Wow. But then he looks back. If I would have a wagon, I'd be a billionaire. So he's bittersweet about it. He feels good on the one hand, but he's crying tears. I have to leave this all behind. Somebody else is going to pick it up. So that's how David HaMelech was happy on the Torah. I rejoiced on Simchas Torah. I rejoiced on being a millionaire. I have the outer, but I'm still a millionaire. I have to be happy. I have to jump up to the sky. But unfortunately, on Tisha B'Av, I have to mourn that the whole inner meaning of the Torah, I will never know till Mashiach comes and rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash. That was the joy and the bittersweet joy of David HaMelech. And we should be zoicha that we should come to get the full value of Torah, not only the outer part of the Torah, but the inner part that will be able to rejoice 100%, have no bittersweet attitude, but it should only be a full Simchas HaTorah with the coming of Mashiach Tzadkenu Meher V'Yemeinu. Amen.